which is interesting because the April 2019 announcement by al-Baghdadi, which was the first time we'd heard from him in 5 years, was actually a video file. So this one is just an audio file, which I find kind of intriguing.
Why do you find it intriguing?
Well, I mean, I would think that the amount of risk that it would take to issue a video file, get it into, you know, their propaganda system, I think the risk to him would be identical to that in terms of getting an audio file out into the wild as well. So I'm surprised that he would not have issued a video file. So, you know, I would be loath to speculate to say, one, maybe I'm wrong about the level of risk, and I'm willing to acknowledge that. Two, there's, you know, a lot of speculation on his health, in which case it's possible that he just doesn't want us to see what he looks like at this point in time. So I'm not sure what the real story is, but it is interesting that it is an audio file and not a full-up video file like he issued in April of 2019.
So what's the discussion like regarding his health?
Well, I mean, I would certainly not have any direct knowledge of this, but there's been a lot of reporting that he had been seriously injured in a U.S. airstrike. And so that reporting has been out there for quite some time. I think there's some more recent speculation in the media that, you know, he has, you know, serious diabetes, high blood pressure, or maybe has some other kind of significant health problems. I mean, if you remember, not too long ago, he identified his successor. Not unusual for an ISIS leader or a terrorist leader to identify a successor, just so that the, you know, the terrorist workforce, you know, knows that there'll be continuity should, you know, the counterterrorism efforts of the West prevail. But I think there's, you know, I think the fact that he's issued an audio file will likely add to the speculation that there's some reason he just didn't want to see us, but he didn't mind having us hear him.
Mm-hmm. So about what he said, does anything he said give you any reason to remember it?
I mean, if you look at the crux of this was, you know, again, to, you know, provide additional confidence to the, you know, extended ISIS operators, both those in Syria, those in Iraq, and he mentioned a number of other regional places. So I think he was, intended to send this message far beyond the battle space of Syria. So I think he saw the need to provide some confidence, a distance away from where he was. I think that's noteworthy. I think you noticed that he didn't mention anything, at least that I recall from listening to the file, about attacks against the West. That's usually the dominant theme out of any terrorist messaging, in particular, historically, out of al-Baghdadi. So he focused his attention on the region. He also put a lot of emphasis on the ISIS families who were being held predominantly by the Syrians in Syria, and was exhorting the ISIS operators to do what they could to rescue and to release them from, in an operational way, from Kurdish custody. So I think he sees that the fact that there's just shy of 80,000, you know, ISIS operators and family members and children that are being held in Syria, I think he probably interpreted that as the fact that ISIS was unable to prevent this and unable to, I don't know what I really want to say. It's just it looks like ISIS was emasculated by the West. If they can hold nearly 80,000 of ISIS family members, you know, in a detention facility, and ISIS can't do anything about it. So I think it, I think he probably saw the, and probably got a lot of feedback from operators that said that that made him believe that they thought that ISIS was quite impotent, and perhaps maybe there were some regional, you know, propaganda, you know, activities on the part of, you know, the Syrians, the Turks, and the Kurds, and maybe us as well. So I think, you know, he talked about taking the fight regionally, and he talked about rescuing the ISIS family members held hostage. And he didn't really emphasize at all that I saw.
Doug Wise, former senior intelligence service member at CIA and the DIA. J.J. Green, WTOP News.